Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to season 12 of Rock That Relationship. We are back for another round of amazing and awesome banter with my good friend, Tracy Wood. Are you excited about this season?
Of course. Have I ever not been excited about a season?
I know. This is always so much fun when we get to do these. So our season this time around is self-work to self-love. And we really got the idea of this based on just like we do with everything, is kind of what we're going through or what we're thinking about at the time. It's like, let's do a season on that. It sounds great. And so we thought we would talk about some topics related to self-work to self-love. So Tracy, what does that mean to you, self-work to self-love?
I think like actually, well, I think there's a lot of different things it can incorporate, but it's, you know, trying to make your life better for yourself, irrespective of whether you're in a relationship or you're single, or you're working, not working, whatever, is to get to the point where you actually love yourself. Like, you actually like yourself. I think that's really hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, right. And the idea of the self-work is, like, we're always a work in progress. And we have to invest in ourselves, right? We have to invest time in ourselves, or faith that we can do something, or giving ourselves opportunities to learn and to grow. Because if we love ourselves, we want to be the best version. So why wouldn't we want to do the work, right?
Yeah, and I think to ask ourselves what's going to make us happy, doing that divorce work, like something that I saw, especially in women, mostly in women, but it was some men as well. Like after many, many years of an unhappy marriage and kids, maybe like no one had ever asked them, and they hadn't asked themselves, like, what's going to make them happy? And it really hadn't even occurred to them until I asked them that. I thought that was sad.
That is sad. Well, think about how many people go through life and, you know, are always putting themselves on the back burner for sometimes for real reasons, right? Legitimate reasons, to care for others or to, you know, make ends meet. But, you know, there's so many little things that we can do to for self-love. And we'll get to talk about those today. And some of them are not actually like bringing joy, although we'll talk about bringing joy, but they're not necessarily like go out and do something that makes you happy. It's just basic everyday things that you can do to enhance your emotional intelligence, to actually love yourself and invest in yourself. That's why I'm really excited about this season.
Well, and I think that self-love doesn't necessarily mean like happiness all the time, right? Like, I think that's, I was listening to a podcast this morning about resiliency and kids of divorced families. And it's, you can't make your kids happy all the time. And that to understand that in this world, maybe you're not going to be happy all the time. What is it that you're seeking though? Like, I mean, theoretically, I would want to be happy all the time, right? But that's not realistic, just given the world that we live in. So how can I find, I think, for me, it's more like satisfaction. I'm sure we've talked about this, but I used to be, I like the world's problems, like made me a really unhappy person. Like I could not get stuff out of my head that I had no control over, right? And so I guess for me, like getting to a place where I'm 55 now, I don't let other people bother me, but I also cannot be bothered by the, it's not like I'm not doing anything to help or try and fix things in the world, but I can't let what's happening in the world crush me anymore, because all it does is make me a miserable person.
Yes. And all it does is allow you to send me endless memes about how the world is on fire. But
well, I'll still keep doing that.
Yeah, I know, right? when I think of self-love too, I think of, you know, beyond happiness, joy, satisfaction, but I think self-love is self-respect. I think it's well-being. You know, part of my self-love is, you know, this idea that I invest in exercise and well-being. And we have an episode we're going to do on that. But I think part of it is just, if you love yourself, you're going to invest in yourself. You're going to find ways to find joy, you're going to find ways to be healthy, you're going to find ways to be and feel respected, be in situations that honor who you are and your authenticity. So I think self-love is just, it's a really important thing to have. And I'm not sure that a lot of people actually have all those elements of it.
Yes, I think most of them don't. Now, the thing that I find interesting, and I don't know if we'll get to that in this season or not, is like, how can two people who have self-love or two people come together and do that? Like last night, I had a discussion with my wife about the piles. You know, I'm a pile person, and that's like drive. It's like not good for her, right? Like she doesn't like the piles. I
Yeah.
don't even see the piles. I'm sure if you came over here, you'd
Oh, I see the
see
piles every
them.
time I'm over
Yeah,
there. I'm like, what
right.
on earth? How does someone live like this?
And it's not like hoarder piles because, like, I'm looking
No.
into my kitchen and it's like I could lay completely. It's like 8 feet wide or 5 feet wide. There's nothing on the floors. It's like, oh, I haven't dealt with this yet or whatever. And she was saying like we don't like shouldn't we get this stuff done before we play pickleball or go hiking? And I was like, oh, that's blasphemy. No, I have to go hiking because my mental health will deteriorate if I don't have the hiking and the pickleball. Right. And I just went through
Yes.
that with a broken arm of not being able to play pickleball for several months. And like, and then also with her children, the twins who are nine, I was at first like, oh, I don't want them to go to pickleball to ruin my experience. And then after I got my arm broken, I'm like, okay, well, I'm hit it playing baseball with them and I'm going to bring them to pickleball because if I don't, I'm not going to get to play. And now they're actually really good and they're fun to play with, you know?
Well, there you go. I mean, that's part of the
Right.
self-love, right? Is honoring what it is that brings you joy, but also being open to new experiences. You had no idea that the twins were going to be so enjoyable to
Right.
play with, right? So,
Exactly.
well, let's get to it for our first episode today. We're actually starting the season out with setting boundaries. And this was a really purposeful selection for our first episode because I think both Tracy and I have had a very interesting last 6 months, to say the
A
least.
year, maybe.
But during the process of our last 6 months or so, there's been for both of us kind of a parallel sense of deep reflection, deep boundary setting, and prioritizing that which is important. And they've been very, our paths have been in some ways very different of the circumstances, but the lessons have been very similar in terms of boundary setting. And so it's really fresh around self-love. It's hard to even begin to think about loving yourself if you're not even respecting the boundaries that you need to have to be a healthy person. And so that's really kind of why we're hitting it off with this boundary topic. So Tracy, for you, when I say like boundaries, what comes to your mind? What are boundaries? Why are they important?
Well, I mean, we have talked about this before. Like, I wasn't good at setting boundaries, right? I thought they were kind of mean. And now I'm much more boundaried person with my time, with my emotional energy, and all that. Is that I don't want to spend my time and energy where I don't want it to go anymore. I guess where it's not giving me the greatest return, you know, whether
Yep.
that's in happiness or satisfaction. I don't want to do stuff I don't want to do anymore.
That was
And I
my
mean,
whole
I
mantra.
didn't,
That was my whole thing.
right.
I don't want to go anywhere I don't want to go. I don't want to do anything I don't want to do. And I don't want to be anywhere I don't want to be. I mean,
When did you say that? You said that like 8
January.
months ago.
January. It was kind of my, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person, but that's what I said. It was like part of my, it was kind of like a manifest that I put out there. And I know sometimes we can't control that, right? Like we have to be busy,
Right.
right? But there are a lot of elective things that we just suffer through. And it's like, what am I doing? You say yes to go to some event that you don't want to go to,
Right.
or you know what I mean? Or you don't prioritize something and you fill it with another activity and you're like, why am I doing this? And so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, and we, I mean, it's weird because I don't, I mean, I know that we talked about all that, but then we kind of, I think we had a little bit of separation over the last couple of months, and yet our lives were still very parallel. Like everything we're doing is kind of in tandem and learning the same lesson. And I think I don't know what it is. Well, I know partly because I got married and then kids came into my life and a partner and another dog and a hedgehog. So I don't have that energy that I had before to do the kind of things that I was doing. Like, and you know, I don't need to, right? So I've shifted, but there were things that were draining on me that were like things that I was hearing about that I wasn't being invited to for whatever reason, because of, text threads and whatnot being different. But like, where even the I didn't even want to hear about this stuff anymore because it wasn't anything I wanted to do. But I think that that's like my emotional boundary. Like, I had to kind of narrow my field of people in my life, which I've never done before.
Well, yeah, and you were almost in some ways physically kind of, I don't want to say forced to do that, but because you got married, because you had three kids come into your world, and then you all moved in together, and then you've got the dogs. And I think, really honestly, the biggest issue with you not being able to spend as much time hiking with me is the care and feeding of the hedgehog. And we really need to talk about how much time that is taking away from our friendship.
The dogs. It's the dogs. The hedgehog is very easy. She's actually asocial. I found out the difference between antisocial and asocial. Antisocial is when they're like people want to go out and actually hurt people or hedgehogs. And asocial is just not sociable, right?
Oh,
It's the
okay.
dogs. The dogs are, you should see my walk this morning. It should be on TV. It'd be embarrassing. The world's like worst dog walking experience.
Oh my
It's
goodness.
just hard. It's hard to manage
Yep.
360-plus-pound dogs.
Well, and I mean, you just have a lot going on, and I know for you and me, we both went through kind of a lot of stuff, just a lot of change over the summer, and it was hard. It was like, trying to find time to spend together just was logistically difficult, and we're
Well,
both
you
going.
were like gone in Iceland and then gone here and gone there and there. And that's the thing. I think sometimes people's, it's like your life trajectory takes you somewhere. And just because, and I think people resist change. I think change can be great. And then you say, okay, well, I want to put some of this back in. But there were things that I did not want back in my life.
Yeah, and I think
There were people.
your natural shift with all that stuff sort of sloughed that some of that off. Like in
Right.
some ways, the boundaries were created for you by virtue of some of the other changes happening, which, it's kind of lucky in a way, right? Like this
Right.
might happen with people who don't like their jobs and they want to like cut their jobs, and then all of a sudden their spouse gets a job somewhere else and they're like, oh, cool, I'll move, and then they leave their job.
Right.
Like some of these things just naturally happen, but some of them also take effort. And I know you and I both really made a conscious effort, particularly in the last 6 months, to really boundary ourselves as well. And so let's take a look at the different kinds of boundaries. We can talk a little bit about each of them, just so our listeners kind of understand when we talk about boundaries, we're talking about all of them. The one of the kinds of boundaries is physical boundaries, like your physical space. Like I know in some For some people, they have a boundary about who can come over to their house, right? Like they might be a very social person, but listen, my house is off limits. I don't want people coming in. It might be things like people who don't want to touch or like shake hands or hug. It might have to do with how much time you want alone, or if you're doing like a relationship situation, no contact is a physical boundary where you're literally like not sending messages to someone that you don't want to talk to. And that could be a relationship or a friendship. So physical boundaries are pretty easy to see and they're relatively easy to set. They're just very challenging sometimes to hold. So, but those differ from emotional boundaries, which really are things that may have infringe upon your emotional well-being. And I think, Tracy, you and I, this was the biggest one, I think, or one of the biggest ones for us, in going through our experiences, is really kind of creating boundaries about who we want to spend time with, how frequently we want to talk to a particular friend, or even if we want to keep a friendship. It's also things like not having an important discussion 5 minutes before going to work. Like that's a boundary. Like, hey, if we're going to talk about something important, we need to talk about it at a time we both can be emotionally available to do this. What kinds of
I've had to
experience?
learn that because I'm one of those
Yeah.
people who spring stuff on people right before they're going off to work or doing something, right?
Yeah.
I've had to learn that, like, to be more judicious. Like, well, I probably haven't even learned it, but for me, I mean, the emotional boundaries of just getting kind of people, not spending my time with people who really are not. Is making me happy. It's not like other people can make me happy, but being around them isn't making it's really wasn't adding anything to my life, and it was like a little bit stressful
Right. In some
or
ways, just
annoying. Yeah.
distracting, right? Taking away from
Right.
your life. And yeah, sometimes it's like
Any kind
an
of
emotional burden,
drama.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't want it anymore. I mean, you said that. You said in addition to your whole thing was that you wanted peace. And I don't know if I articulated that, but that's what I ended up with, by default, not knowing that was going to happen. And having that peace in my home and with my wife, like I don't want drama. I don't want anyone's drama infringing in my life at all.
Yep.
And it doesn't mean like major drama. It means like I don't have time for you. That sounds so mean that I just said it, but like I
No.
don't have time. I don't have time. I have time
Yeah.
now for very select people.
And that's the thing is like if you have, I think about it, if I have a friendship with someone and it's a drama-free friendship, but that person is going through a really difficult time, I'm not going to abandon them and be like, I
Right,
don't like,
that's
but
different.
it's, but the
Yeah.
people that are like those just emotional drags, like they, it takes a lot of effort to like spend time with them because they just emotionally pull you down. They complain a lot or there's some kind of toxic situation. You know, for me, this was a huge kind of epiphany this summer was, you know, I had a lot of friends that just weren't really not only value added, they were really just detracting from my happiness. And
Right.
I thought, you know, I don't need this. And every
Right.
time I think about it, I'm like, there are millions and millions of people on this planet. Why am I holding on to a couple people who
Right.
don't fulfill me and don't and aren't really healthy for me if I just kind of create some boundaries. And it didn't have to be anything like I didn't have any conversations with people like,
Right.
listen, I'm setting a boundary because you're emotionally draining. I just sort of faded off. We
Right.
faded off and maybe they felt the same way about me. I have no idea, but created that boundary so that I didn't reach out anymore and I didn't go to things where they were at. And it sort of has created a sense of peace, like you're talking about.
Right. Well, and I do think that, again, we talked about this early on, I think in season one. Person A can want something one way, and person B wants something another way. And neither person is wrong, it just doesn't work. And I think sometimes there's social stuff that it just becomes, for me, it became, it's just something I didn't want in my life, you know? And I didn't even want to discuss it or pursue it or whatever. It's just I started noticing when I would engage with a certain like group of people or whatever, I just didn't feel good. It just wasn't my place, you know? And I don't
Yep.
think that that makes it wrong or like I'm not looking down on that or anything. It just it was not making me feel happy to be in those circumstances.
Right. Well, I think that's important is that it doesn't have to be some kind of maliciousness on the behalf of someone that just treats you
Right.
badly and you walk away. That's an important boundary, don't get me wrong. But sometimes you're right. You either grow in different directions or the fit, you just don't want the fit anymore. You know, there's no fit anymore. And you just kind of say, this isn't what I want. Right. And I think
Right.
both you and I did that. You know, part of it was virtue of time. Part of it was virtue of just like, this doesn't feel like where I want to be. And that's the boundary that's sometimes the harder one to set because it's easy when someone does something really bad to say, I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Right.
But it's when it's just kind of this like undertone of rumbling of dissatisfaction, but you continue to hold on and say, all right, I'm going to just stick with this. That's the hardest to make a boundary because you feel like in some ways you're not being violated enough to set the boundary. And it's like, well,
Right.
give them the benefit of the doubt and all of that. But in reality, it shouldn't be a rumbling.
Agree. I mean, I'm thinking about this. That's why I'm quiet, but okay, so getting married and then having three kids, not full time, one full time and now two on the weekends. Like, I have to conserve, I have to not have to. Like, I enjoy what I'm doing, right? So, like, I don't have the kind of time that I had before, energy. I mean, we always all have the same amount of time, but what I'm doing with that is different. So, therefore, when I'm not doing that stuff with the family, then the only people I want to talk to are ones that are gonna make like you make me happy or not annoy or like I think a lot of people end up talking to people, hanging out with people, still keeping stuff going because it's been that way, or they socially like they're worried about being socially isolated or whatever. I think that's one thing I gave up. I don't care. I don't care if I'm in a group. I don't care. I really don't care. You know,
Yeah.
like don't care. Don't have time for it. And that's the thing. It's not even like emotional, like there's nothing really wrong. It's just like I just did not have time anymore.
Well, and also you reprioritize. So the time that you did have, you didn't want to spend it on things that were either neutral or negative.
Yeah, that only can be like making me happier, you know?
Exactly. And for me, it's not even that I have less time. I have more time. My kid is in Germany and I have a lot of time. And I just started to realize that it doesn't matter how much I have, I don't want to spend it anywhere that I don't want to spend it.
Right.
And I'm worth that. And that's hard too, because, you know, we talked a lot about particularly friendships. We had, you know, just kind of going through a reckoning of like friendships and who do I really want to invest in? You know, I was very sad. Remember at one point I was very sad and I said, "My gosh, I feel like I've lost a lot of friends this summer."
Right.
And do you remember what you told me?
Let me see. I said, I don't know, it's time for that. Sometimes the universe does that. It's a time to focus on yourself.
Yes,
Like you're
bingo.
losing those people so that you can have the time to focus on yourself.
Yes, but you also said, and this is what I loved, you also said something about boundaries. You said you raised the bar higher than you had it. And now you're realizing that some people don't meet that bar and you're saying goodbye. And so it's not that people are, you're, even if I was losing a bunch of friends, there's nothing wrong with that. But you said, I'm raising the standards and the expectations of who I want in my life. And some people just don't meet them. And you're walking away from those people and you're really holding to that boundary. And that is the best way to focus on yourself. And new people will come in, and you're making time for yourself, and you're making time for others that do fulfill you and all the things that you love, and you're not wasting time on things that don't meet your expectations.
Well, and I also think you needed this time to yourself. I know that I mean, you always say, I'm always by myself. I work by myself. I'm by myself all day and during the day, but truly, truly by yourself, like alone. And I mean, I've had those seasons in my life where I felt like, oh my God, what has happened? I am alone. Well, okay, now I guess I've not really had that, but I have felt like, no, I take it back. I mean, I'm trying to think. I've gone in waves of like, I need to really think about this now because I kind of feel like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, some of the people we're hanging around with, I was just doing that because you kept making me go to things.
I
It
mean,
wouldn't have
yeah.
naturally, like, it would not have been my natural thing. I'm trying to think of what is my, I'm very social, but I'm also very like, particular. And I am known for showing up places and then leaving, not staying very long and not eating and not whatever. And then I just leave. Because, like, I guess that's what I need to do to protect myself. And so I was doing a lot more just because you were making me than I would have normally otherwise, you know? And
Yeah,
I
well, I
do
mean, I
think,
think if
like,
I wasn't going, you wouldn't have gone.
right,
I
no.
mean, I don't, yeah. And
Right.
sometimes I would call and say, will you go? So I'm, you know, I have someone to go
Right.
with. And, you know, other
But I
times,
mean, you
yeah.
also urged me to get out and go just because you thought that I should, which maybe at that time was good, right?
Yeah, I mean, there were certain times in our lives where going out and being in all these things were really important, and then it's just not a time anymore.
Right.
That's not a priority.
Yeah, I think that's what people have to accept is shifting priorities in their life and that's okay. And like now I'm trying to do a total redo of my life. I don't know if you know that, but like work-wise and like passion for the next. I mean, I'm 55 and there's stuff that I really want to do. And, you know, I was manifesting so much back in the spring. It's now November. Like I was manifesting so many things. It was kind of freaking me out because I was like getting everything I wanted. And then I got the ultimate. What I wanted and got married, and then I kind of stopped manifesting for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
And now,
because
you
back
know, a
then you
couple.
were manifesting even professional stuff that was coming to you.
Well, right. And then now my professional life, I ended up leaving that job, not because I wanted to and not because I got fired. It just, I didn't want to go back to litigating, and it wasn't it wasn't lucrative enough for the firm to keep me in the position I was in. So there were no hard feelings, but now I'm at a loss like for the last month. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I have to figure out what to do. And so I think that's also like, I have to set boundaries right now in my life to make sure that I can look forward and get what I want for the next 50 years, you know? Like, I just said that about you this morning too. Like I said, you've been, if I had listened to you for the last 4 years, right, I'd be where I want to be. And again, it's like, who do I have in my life? People that are going to uplift me. So that's all I have space for right now is people who are going to uplift me and help me
Right.
get to where I want to go. And so I think we can say like seasonal, like, the people are in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime, whatever, but that those boundaries are there to help you like get to where you want to be. Like, you know what I mean? I
Exactly.
mean,
And you have to be more boundaried now than ever before, because especially
right.
professionally, because you could end up getting pulled in 50 different directions.
Right.
Right. And say yes to a bunch of stuff, which is the next type of boundary that we were going to talk about is mental boundaries, is saying yes to things that when you really should say no. Because at this point, it's this idea of centering your passion and saying, what is it that I
Right.
really want to do? And then saying yes to those things that align with that. But it's easy when you're in a situation like yours where you're not working and you're going to want to say yes to everything, which of course
Right.
makes sense monetarily. But it also means that next thing you know, you're doing something that isn't bringing you the kind of joy that you really wanted, and you're completely off track. And so those mental boundaries are really hard. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to work with you. I mean, that's been for me a big one, is that's a cool project. I don't really want to work with you. And I don't
Yeah,
say it
you've,
like that, but I,
I
you and I have
know.
had a lot of conversations about my, I don't know, my.
Because you're a super achiever and it's hard. Other people just aren't gonna be at that level. And so then you end up doing a lot. And actually, you'd be a lot faster and more productive without the vast majority of people, including me. I mean, I'm here for the back and forth, but I don't do much for the podcast, right? And so we have to set up those boundaries. Like you, it's unfair for you, right? Unless it's like your passion and you're like, I'm gonna do it all to get it done. I mean, you're an outlier, right? You're an exception as to how much you can get done. And so for you, if you're not setting your boundaries as far as like, you shouldn't end up having to do everything, but even when you tell people that up front, you end up having to do it anyway.
I know, I know. And you and I have talked recently about it, is unless it's somebody that I've collaborated with in the past and we've had a really good collaboration, I don't think I'm taking on any new collaborations. It's just too much. I'll take on consultations. So I don't want to necessarily co-write a book with someone, but I'll write a book and then I'll have a lot of people like edit or give feedback so that it feels a little bit more
Right.
collaborative, but I'm not doing it anymore. And that is a mental boundary I'm setting, because I am so frustrated that I work at a different pace than other people. And it's not necessarily
Right.
their fault. Some people
Right.
just drag along, and some people know I'm going to do the work, so they take advantage of that. Some people are lazy, right? And some people just try to ride on my coattails. That has happened. But some people just genuinely try to put it in an effort and just aren't nearly as productive or fast or efficient in any of those things. And guess what? That is frustrating to me. And that
Right.
isn't going to change. So instead of being frustrated with those people, I'm going to create a mental boundary that I am not collaborating on new projects with people that I've never worked with before and have a track record of good collaboration, because I have to hold to that boundary. And I had another situation recently happen where I had a new collaboration and it went south. And it was like, why? And you even said to me, like, you know you don't like doing that. Why did you do that? And
Right.
I did it anyways. So I need you to say, if I'm like, I have a new project and I met this person, Susie Q, and you're like, no, Susie Q. She's not helping you with this. Do it alone. You
Okay,
know?
but like in order for us to learn, we have to go through, you need multiple learning occasions, like you need multiple lessons, but also you don't know what might work out, you know what I mean? But
I
if
know.
it's the frustration, right? Like for you.
Yeah. I'm
And
frustrated a lot. There are very
right.
few collaborations that have worked out. And so it's like, and then I say, well, I should just take a chance. And then I do. And then it almost
And
always
then, right.
wrecks something. And it's like, then it's so much more work for me to undo it. And I just rather move forward myself and do some of the, I've got a list of projects I want to do, independent projects that could keep me busy for a lifetime. So,
Well,
and
just do that. My God, you just wrote a book and did all the publishing and all the everything. I mean, you're like
yeah.
a one woman production machine for whatever it is. And you
Yeah.
still yet have all this time to go do, but that I think that is a product of your manifesting, you know,
Yeah.
and being able to set boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Now.
I'm very good at saying no to projects, not just collaborations, but no to even independent projects that I don't want to do. I'm asked to be on people's board of directors for their nonprofits. No, no, thank you. Good luck with it. I believe in your mission. No. You know, do you want to write a chapter for this book? No, not really. I'm not really interested in that. That isn't going to fuel my fire. And I feel more empowered being able to draw those boundaries to say, no, it's not just that my time is valuable, it's that my focus is valuable, right? Like, I don't want to focus on writing some chapter for a book I don't really have an interest in when I could be spending that focus writing a chapter for a book that I am interested in. So even if I have time, I don't want to have to shift my focus or split my focus.
Well, that's a good mental and time boundary.
Exactly.
That's how I feel, but it's mine's just all directed towards my personal life. And I could really learn from you and the work life. But that's also like work and life balance and kids and all that. I mean, I think it's really hard. Like, and like I said, when I'm doing that divorce work and talking to people who've been in these very long term marriages and no one's ever even cared or asked them, including themselves, like, how are things going? You know?
Right. That's
Are
amazing.
you happy? Do you want to be happy? What would it take for you to be happy? It's very
Exactly.
common though. And it's going to be even more common with more, you know, gray divorces, as they're called, as people have, you know, options where women didn't have, and hopefully will continue to have, but, you know, that women didn't have. Like, this is the first generation where there are gray divorces. Did you know that? I mean,
That makes
there were
sense,
probably a
yeah.
few, but not a lot like there are now.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. And the part about that that's so interesting to me is that some people have gotten so used to living in particularly a loveless marriage, or they've been in something, even when you look at it at like a friendship level, you've been in something that isn't really value added, but you've been doing it for so long that it, the familiarity feels comfortable versus the fear of change. And you just sit with it and you look back and you think, when was the last time I was happy in this relationship? And it's like, I don't know, because it's been so long. And it's been just tinkering down just a little bit every day. So it chips away. It's not like one day you were magically happy and the next day you were miserable. That's how that gets to you. And then you don't check yourself until it gets to a point like the boiling point.
Yeah, and it is interesting because when I would talk to these people, they'd be like, "Oh, I've been married for 35 years, 40 years." And I'm like, "Well, then why now? Like, what? Why are you getting divorced now?" I talked to a 93-year-old man. And I was like, what is the point? My God, you're going to be like dead soon. And he literally said, like, I don't want to live my last few years miserable. And then he described to me what was happening. And I was like, oh, I totally get it. I totally agree, you know? But like, a lot of people said they just were done. They were done putting up with the shit they put up with for so long. And then
Well,
it's like, wow, you put up with that for 20, 30 years.
right. And isn't that the strongest form of boundary setting? I'm done, right? I'm done. I'm leaving my home, my spouse, my life, maybe my friends, my community. I'm leaving everything. What a boundary to say, I am investing in myself and my own love for myself so much so that I'm creating every boundary that could possibly exist.
And you know, every single one of those people told me that they were happier.
Yeah.
You know,
Interesting. Yep.
I know. It is interesting because they spent a long time with somebody to then say I'm done over. And I mean, these
Right.
aren't people where like, oh, their kid turned 18. I mean, their kids were adults, you know, long been adults.
Right.
So
They could have
they
ended
just
it years
had
ago.
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
exactly. Well, that kind of transitions us into the next boundary, and which is a sexual boundary, right? And that could be intimate boundaries. It doesn't have to just be sex, but just this idea of intimacy, right? What does that look like? And maybe, you know, creating boundaries around how frequently you want to engage in intimacy. Do you want to be touched? How do you feel about PDA, right? These are things around boundaries. You know, it was interesting. I've been told that like I'm not really from the outset a PDA kind of a person, but sometimes I do PDA and people are like, wow, I thought that you didn't like PDA. And it's kind of interesting because it's like some people have really strict boundaries around those kind of physical and sexual intimate, you know, acts. And so that's another boundary that really kind of sits out there. But I really want to focus on a couple of the other ones that I think are kind of really, really relevant to our self-love conversation. And one of them is spiritual, right? The spiritual boundary that where you have the freedom to believe in what you want without interference from others. Like, if whether it's religious or spiritual or whatever, but not having to deal with someone critiquing that or debating it or, making you feel bad for having your religious belief or your spiritual beliefs, but being able to set a boundary and say, listen, this is what I believe, and I really just don't want your opinion on it. So how
Isn't that kind of like with everything in life, though? Like, I don't want your opinion unless you
right.
like. I did have to say that this summer. Like, unless you have something positive to contribute, I don't want to hear it. Like, I literally that was the boundary I set. And I mean, I've been, Buddhist leaning, whatever, for my whole adult life, and so that's a little bit of an outlier in America and white Christian nation, but. People probably gave me a hard time for it, 20, 30 years ago. Now it's more common and more understood, but I think it's strange. Like, whatever gets people, if it's not like, a cruel thing, like whatever helps people to feel comfort in the knowledge that eventually we'll die. And so what is, I think, spirituality is helps to give this life meaning. And maybe there are people who don't need it. That's their business too,
I mean, I'm on the mindset that you are. That's the, you can believe what you want to believe until your beliefs infringe upon my existence, right? That's where I draw the line. But, I'm a pretty spiritual person. Some people would say I'm woo woo, and I like things like tarot cards, and I like things like intuitive stuff. And, it's almost like I've talked with some friends about this, that it's almost like this kind of underground group, because you have to sort of feel around with your friends. Now, do you believe in that kind of stuff? Because I don't want to start talking about past lives and soul circles if you're just going to laugh at me, right? And so, but that's this idea that, we're, creating the kind of fear that people don't want to hear it. And I've been around people who just make fun of it, or they'll say, oh,
Really?
you and your woo-woo stuff,
What?
and it's like, I don't want to hear it. This is my boundary. These are things that are really important to me. So if you can't say something nice about it, then don't say anything at all.
That should go for all boundaries.
I
That
agree
should
with
go for
you.
all things, right?
I
Like,
agree with you.
yeah.
Right. Exactly. I don't, that's the thing that I don't understand about like being a critical person, like where you're giving critical feedback to people. Like, unless someone is about to step out into traffic and like get hit by a bus, I keep your opinion to yourself. I mean, unless it's asked for, because there are those some people that, always have an opinion about everything that you're doing, and often will tell you after you've done it when you can't do anything different. And it's like, stop. That's my boundary. Stop talking. I've already made this decision. I don't want your input. And that's emotional boundary, but that's also probably a spiritual boundary. I'm making a decision in my life that I feel good about, and I don't need other people's opinion in it unless I'm asking for it, or unless something, like I said, like I'm going to step out into traffic.
Yes. I mean, it is interesting because there, I guess if you put it up for debate or if you're debating it in general in society, right? But I mean, I guess there are people who do. I mean, I've never been in a religious community and I don't have religious parents, so I don't have that. Like, but I think there is a lot of pressure on people to conform to other people's religious beliefs.
Right. Well, spreading the word and, those kind of things. Like, I appreciate it. And if I want that information, I'll ask you for it. And that's not just spiritual, but just anything. Just, and you and I have talked about this a lot. And I, there was at one point a few years ago where you were in a relationship that wasn't healthy at all. And I had just stopped giving you any feedback. And finally you said, stop doing that. I want you to tell me what you really think. And I said, really? You really want me to tell you? Because sit down. And, but
If we were hiking, I actually remember that conversation, but I asked you at that point.
Yeah,
Well, I
you
asked
asked
you for
me.
your opinion. I just
Yeah.
wanted your opinion.
And often I try not to give you my opinion unless you somehow ask for it or look like you're kind of seeking it, even if you're not asking. It's like, it's your life. And that's a
And people
boundary.
can then say, like, I don't want to hear it or whatever. But I mean, I do think, it is interesting because this comes up with the domestic violence a lot, and people Well, later the victim might say like, "Oh, I wish someone had told me." And it's like, people do try and tell you, and a lot of times people won't listen. Like, people will not listen to other people when they say, "Oh, that's going to be bad" or whatever. Because everybody, I think, advice is only going to be received well if that person asks for it, or is like, in such a bad way that it's clear that they need it. But I do think like part of life and boundaries having is that you have to figure things out on your own. There might be something you're getting out of it, you know?
Right, exactly. And like with domestic violence situation, it's like that's stepping into traffic. When you see somebody, when somebody's in
But
a,
even when you say something to people, they often are like, screw you.
they don't want to
You
know.
know what
Well,
I mean?
it was interesting. I had a relationship a long time ago with someone and we broke up and I had a couple friends afterwards that were like, oh, I never liked that person. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And they said, because you wouldn't have heard me. And you would have been mad at me for telling you that. So I created a boundary over what I was willing to tell you in preservation of our friendship. You weren't in danger. There was nothing bad about this situation. I just didn't like this person. And I was like, okay, that's interesting because the other person created a boundary to say, I don't want to hurt our friendship by saying I don't like your new partner. So they just kept their mouth shut and, went along. And then when we broke up, decided to like unload. And but I think that's
Yeah, but
interesting to
isn't
see.
that good to, yeah, to hear
Yeah.
though that what
Right, a
people
little
think?
validating,
Yeah.
right?
But
Right.
that's the thing, we all have to learn, you know? And we have to offer help when help is needed if someone is in a really bad situation, like a dangerous situation. But oftentimes, that can come at a cost to yourself, right? If it's truly a really, domestic violence situation, because then you can become the target of the perpetrator. But oftentimes, people just aren't ready to leave or listen to other people. So
Right. So there's like a
I think
two-way
boundaries can
boundary.
go both ways.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. The person might say, I don't want to hear it. And the other person might just say, I don't want to say it. I don't want to intervene. I want nothing to do with this. And that's a boundary, too. Well, let's talk about another boundary, a financial boundary, where you kind of guard your material assets. It's like people who are constantly loaning money to their family members and then their family members don't pay them back and then they're surprised, right? And then they finally say, I'm not loaning money to family members. And that's a boundary that they create. Have you ever had any financial boundaries that you've ever set for yourself?
No, I don't have any money. I've never had this issue.
I mean,
I've
even
never.
thinking like people say, I had someone want to borrow my bicycle one time and I just was like,
You don't want to.
I have a nice bike and I really don't want to loan you my bicycle. Same thing with my car. I used to loan my car out to people all the time who didn't have a car. Like, can I borrow your car? This was when I was a lot younger. And I would let people borrow my car. And I remember I had one person borrow my car and she was going to borrow it for the weekend. And I really didn't know what she was doing with it. She and her girlfriend at the time. And I was living in the state of Washington. And the two of them decided to cover the back of my car with a bunch of bumper stickers. Like
What?
they were LGBTQ bumper stickers, which is fine, but in Eastern Washington in the
In
in
the
that time period,
90s,
no.
why would they do that to your car?
I don't know. And then they took the car and they drove it all the way to Canada for the weekend. I'm like, you took my
What?
car out of the country. So after that, I said, nobody borrows my car ever again. I don't care if you have to go to the dentist to have a root canal. You're not borrowing my car.
Did you have to remove the stickers?
I did have to remove
Wait,
the sticker.
would someone put stickers on another person's car?
I have no idea. It is not something I could say,
It'd be
sure,
one thing
you
if they
can.
taped it up in the back window, but even so, what if someone wanted to throw a rock through
That's what
the
I said.
window?
I said, you put those stickers up that made my car a target. And so, at that point when I lent the car originally, I wasn't like, hey, listen, you can borrow my car, but you can't take it out of the country and you can't put stickers on it because I wouldn't have thought that somebody would do that. So at that point, I was like, I'm done. I never loaned my car to anyone again. I've never loaned my bicycle to anyone, although I'm very grateful that I have a friend of mine who loaned me her bicycle for a race this weekend. But I would probably loan some of my friends my bicycle now and maybe even my car. But I had to really draw some lines because I was like, wow, I felt really taken advantage of with the car and the stickers.
Well, I'd be very judicious about my car. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's not even a nice car, but it's like my little baby. And I wouldn't
Right.
want somebody to wreck it if that's my only form of transportation.
Exactly.
But I mean, it depends on who they are, Again, you have to judge, like, who is it? I can't even imagine somebody putting stickers on someone else's car. That's so rude.
I know. I thought so
That's
too.
like outrageous.
Right?
I mean, let me come and alter your car. But I would just be worried that, oh, an accident or whatever. So I know my neighbors would let me, but obviously I've driven my wife's car, she drives mine. But there's like one neighbor I would let, you know. I'd
Yeah.
much rather be like, do you need a, if you need a ride, I'll give you a ride, but I'm driving my car,
Right,
dropping you
right.
off, you know? No, I've never
Exactly.
really had those kind of people in my life. And I'm not one of those people. I don't think, I don't really borrow anything from anybody except the neighbor across the street because she has more tools than me. So I'm like, why should I buy a ladder when she has three, you know?
Yeah, I've done that with tools. Actually, did it with a ladder as well in the last year or so. I borrowed it from someone.
Well, she likes it. She's proud of her tool collection. But like, if she didn't have that stuff, then, you know, I'd have to get it. But like, that's more symbiotic, I think, you know?
Right. And it's not
It
as
is
high stakes.
interesting.
And it's like if the ladder breaks, it's not like she can't function. Like if
Right.
your car broke down, or
Right.
it's not as costly, right? You know, those kind of
Well, did
things.
you finish that Elizabeth Gilbert book, the All the
I
Way to the River?
did.
Because she
I
talks
did.
about that with financial stuff.
Right.
Apparently she was doling out the cash and I wasn't around, but like sounded like she was doling out a lot of money to people, which I
Yep.
thought was really interesting.
Yeah, well, when maybe when you have that kind of money too, you know, you can dole it out. But I mean, that was all tied into a lot of her like codependency and love and sex addiction stuff
Well,
about.
that's a fascinating book for many, many reasons. We should have a whole podcast about that because there's like so many different issues.
I know that was a fascinating
But
book.
boundaries was a very big thing in
Yep,
that book.
absolutely. Well, let's talk about the last boundary as we kind of wrap up today. We've alluded to it a lot through these other ones, and you've talked more about it than me, but time boundaries,
Yeah.
right? Like not just how long you
Yeah.
spend at a party or an event, but like even like when you turn your phone off in the evening or when you're willing to check messages, or you and I have talked about when to take calls because
Right.
it's been harder to talk. You and I have talked on the phone almost every single day. And for the last few months, it's been a little bit trickier because your schedule picking up the kids or spending time at home and
Well,
you're
I'll
not
tell you,
living.
I know, I was talking to my friend the other day with one AirPod in. I had a baseball glove on my left hand, baseball bat in my right hand, hitting off of a tee with two kids talking to me at once. And so I was like, I'm talking on the phone, I'm having them yell things at me. I'm using sign language with a glove on one hand and a bat on the other. And that's the thing is like, my time boundaries now are way different than they were before because what I want to focus on right now is like this, you know, this universe that I have going on here. And I think that's surprising to people to see from the outside, but that's what's making me super happy, you know?
Right. Well, and you're also calibrating. Like you're going through a lot of like, you know, working full time to kind of figuring out what you want to do for work. You've got a lot of things with the kids kind of being shuffled around and things aren't
Right.
totally settled. Your life isn't totally
Right.
settled. And I think once it is, you're going to be able to have clearer time boundaries that are going to give you more, I don't know, more ability to do a lot of the things that you want to do because you're going to find different pockets of time
Right.
as you
Well,
work
if I
through.
take the dogs to the wash in the morning, it exhausts them for the day. That gives me more time, right? And so I'm
Yeah.
trying with the twins also to get them more tired in the mornings on the weekends.
Right.
Because get them out, get them doing that, get them, you know. But then it's like, you know, people have different schedules for different activities and whatnot. And I mean, I'm kind of a fluid person in that way. Like I do have a lot more fluidity. I mean, I did go hiking this morning and I am going at 4:30, but I do need to like, I don't know what happened to me, if it's menopause or changing of life circumstances, but I just got really chubby, so I've got to fix that. And that's been harder to fix, you know, because I do want to cuddle in bed in the morning and stay, and then I'm like, oh my God, but I'm turning into a Teletubby, so it's like I have to make choices, and I think that that's everybody's life dilemmas, right? Is what do I make time for? I mean, there's those people who are like super fit, but they're at the gym 4 hours a day. I was at the gym for 7 minutes this morning, and I went at like 9:30 after I hiked because I was like, oh, I better just go because that's what I was going to do this morning at 4:30, and I didn't. And then I went there and I was just like, wah! Like I had my sunglasses on, so I didn't make eye contact with anybody. And I just wanted to get in and get out. And it's like, what are the things that are pleasurable, right? And
Right.
so we have to decide because we cannot do everything. But then you see like somebody like Oprah and you're like, well, she managed to do everything. So why can't I?
Yeah, but Oprah also doesn't like have to call the dentist 19 times to get an appointment and figure out some credit card transaction that wasn't right. Like, you know, think about all the time you waste. And I really do think it's wasteful, like trying to get things all sorted. Like I have literally been going 10 rounds with this third party vendor that's trying to where I have to get a an official transcript for my daughter from a summer school class, and like their portal doesn't have the button enabled, and I've gone back and forth like 20 times sending screenshots, and I'm like, just send me the transcript. I mean, the amount
Right.
of time I have wasted, and I can't create a boundary around that because I have to get this transcript. And so think about all of that time that you go back and forth coordinating your life,
Oh, yeah.
and then you have to fit all the other things in, right? And so for
Yeah,
me,
and go on.
I was going to
Sorry.
say, for me, what I've done is I look at my schedule and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm booked back to back to back to back. So I go in at the beginning of the week and I carve out like 90 minutes and I say, this is either my walk or my hike. And I put it in and I say, it's not negotiable. It's not negotiable. And someone
You're
calls and is
good at
like,
that.
can you have a meeting at this time? No, I've already got plans. And they're like, well, what are your plans? I'm like, I'm going walking. And they're like, okay. I'm like, no, that's when I'm going walking. And on Tuesday
Yes.
nights at 6 p.m., what do I have every Tuesday night,
Writing
Tracy?
class, writing class.
Writing group, virtual
Right.
writing group. I've been doing it for 6 years come January.
And
And
you've written a book.
I've written a couple books during that time. And it's like, you know, I'll miss it every once in a while because if there's like a
Right.
show or a big event or I'm out of town, but I very rarely miss that. And people are like, can you do something on Tuesday night? No, I
But
can't.
that's how you're one of those high achievers, is you're very good at setting boundaries like that. That's something people could really learn from you.
That I am really
Because
good
you're
at.
productive. Because when I did your writing group, I fell asleep. Because you're just there writing. And so I was like, oh, good. We
Yes.
can come back in 40 minutes. And then I went and slept and came back. But like, you're productive, right?
Right. Right.
So I think carving out time, and people say that time blocks is how you'll be actually able to get stuff done and be successful.
Yeah, and I do that
Time blocking.
not just with like work stuff or like, you know, things I want to be productive, but like health stuff.
Right.
Like, no, I can't do that. I can't do that on that day. And people are like, why? Why? And I've actually turned down big things that I was like, no, I've got too much going on that day.
Really?
No. Yeah, I actually have a program that somebody wanted to do a virtual program and they wanted to do it on a Friday. And I was like, no, I really don't like doing those on Fridays. So I said, no, but I'll do it on Wednesday. And
Good.
I got
And
a
did
message
they?
back. They're like, sure, Wednesday works. So sometimes it's
See?
also you have to assert yourself and say, here is my
Right.
boundary. And 9 times out of 10, or even more than that, people will say, oh, okay, I just was throwing that date out. I don't like doing programs on
Well,
Fridays.
and your circumstances, are you desperate or not desperate, right? Like right now, I'm not desperate. So I'm just like, what am I going to do? But when I become desperate, it'll be different circumstances.
Yeah, but see, there's a fear of that. Like, so say you're desperate and you, like you or me, and you really needed that program, right? You didn't want to say anything because you were afraid that if you said you weren't available on a Friday, they would say no, thank you. But instead, you could just say, oh, listen, might you have Wednesday open instead? And then if they say no, then you say, okay, Friday will work. Or you just say, do you have Wednesday open? And they'll say, yeah, Wednesday's open. You say, great, thank you so much. That is way better for my schedule. And there's ways to do it where even in a state of kind of desperation or need, you can still manage that time boundary pretty quickly. And so, you know, I've been very, very good at scheduling and time blocking my whole life. So that's one area that I know helps get things done.
You are very good at that. A lot of people could learn from you.
I know maybe I should have time blocking classes.
Can you teach that? If you can, okay, let's do an experiment. You'll teach me. Let's see if it works. But see, that's the same as dog training classes. It's not about the dogs, it's about the people. And it's not about the time because the time exists the same for all of us. It's whether the person can be disciplined or not. Are you a disciplined person or not? People thought I was disciplined because I was in real good shape before, but the reality is I was just into that at the time.
Right. Well,
But
what do we
when
do?
I'm not disciplined.
But like for the podcast, what did I do for this season?
You sent me a list of every single date and asked me if I was available. And because I'm not working, I was available for everything at your time. But you're the one that you figured out, okay, these are the dates and times, and you put the whole thing together in the dates and you sent it to me, right? So you pre-planned You set it up in advance, so now we know exactly when we're, recording every single episode.
Yep. And I know for you, once you have it in your calendar, at least my experience in the 11 prior seasons, is that unless something major happens, you hold to that
Right.
time. And I do too. I'm
Right.
like, I will plan around it. We very rarely have ever moved our time. And that's really an important part of time blocking too, because
Right.
you can also find ways to talk yourself out of it. Like, oh, well, since this came up or I've got this going on, it's like, no, it's like a really important time block and we're just gonna hold
Right.
to it.
Right. Well,
Yeah.
I would never dare change on you unless it was some emergency.
I know,
Never.
right? You do know that's
But
my
see,
thing.
I know. Well, that would be messed up also, right?
Right.
Like
It would
that's
be,
am I
yeah.
valuing this or am I not?
Exactly, right? Your value to you show value to me by coming and doing this.
Right.
And if you
Right.
cancel all the time, I'm like, well, then why are we doing this? Like, you clearly,
Right.
it's not a priority.
And that's a time boundary. It's like I'm taking my time. I'm being you, taking my time to do something, then expect other people to honor that.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow.
Well, there we go.
Well,
Once
this
again, we've solved some dilemmas.
we've solved some dilemmas and we've talked about boundaries. So, all right, what's your big takeaway from today?
That I think boundaries are really helpful. One, to maintain your focus in life, your mental health, your mental well-being, and also they're helpful in setting goals, something I've never done, but I'm about to. I'm about to. I'm going to spend the second half of my life setting goals and achieving them. And I don't think I can get there without boundaries.
Okay. Good. That's the self work, right? Is figuring out that's what you need, right? And then the self love is actually doing it. You know?
Isn't that interesting? The self work is figuring out what you need, and then the self love is what? Actually doing it.
Yeah, actually doing it. Showing up for yourself in the way that you intended.
There you go.
There we go.
So
All right.
here, my goals are having the best family and then being the best partner and step parent, and then simultaneously focusing on an actual career going forward.
There you go. And you're going to have to set and are setting many boundaries in order to get there
Right, to do that.
and honor those boundaries. That's the thing. The self-work to self-love is honoring those
But
boundaries.
I do think one final note, it is easier to honor boundaries, like when I'm not doing so would screw somebody else over, right? Like, or disrespecting you if I didn't show up or if I was, whatever. It's a lot easier for me. That's what my sister is like. You can't be ADHD because you made it through law school. And I'm like, that's because the pressure of school. It's not that I'm not ADHD. It's that there was an external, something, a punishment or an embarrassment or whatever.
Right, some accountability
Or a
there. Yeah.
disrespect, right? So external accountability. So I think that that's something that people, if you want to hold true to boundaries, then maybe set up external accountability.
Yeah.
If
And
you
at the
can't
same
do it
time,
internally, like you're
right.
an example of internal, incredible internal boundary setting, maintaining boundaries. Me,
Right.
I'm horrible.
Right.
So I need external accountability.
Yeah. So figuring out what works for everybody to have those boundaries. It could even just be someone who checks in with you to say, are you still engaging in
Right.
these
I mean, they do
boundaries?
have accountability coaches,
Yeah. And that would work for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, fantastic. It has been a great conversation, a great kickoff for season 12, talking about self-work to self-love and boundaries. And thank you, Tracy, for kicking us off and getting us just started on this great journey that we have ahead of us for the next several episodes.
I'm excited.
Woohoo! All right, and to all our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.